Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter sermon and a sermon on the prophet Job preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
Marriage equality is the law of the land, and for tens of thousands of couples across the state, this is the day when they are recognized as equal in love, as equal in commitment, and equal in marriage.
That's the voice of Bernard Cherkasov, Chief Executive Officer of Equality Illinois, one of the groups that is pushing both socially and legally, legislatively, for same-sex marriage all over the place, but in this case, particularly in Illinois. And with the 1st of June, Illinois was supposed to begin issuing same-sex marriage licenses. And with the 2nd of June, the first business day, they began doing so. Now, no one's expecting county offices to be flooded with applicants, but it seems as though maybe there'll be more lawsuits involved with this issue than there will be marriage licenses issued. But we shall wait and see. Is this inevitable? This is just another occasion, if you've been reading the stories about this in the news, for those who are pushing for same-sex marriage to declare victory, to declare inevitability, to call upon the Supreme Court to make this official and the law of the land in all 50 states. Joining us to talk about this, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse. We'll also talk a little bit about Monday's comments by Pope Francis on marriage, children, and pets. Dr. Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
The term here is equality. Do you take issue with that characterization of what has now become the law of the land, at least in the state of Illinois, where I reside?
Well, I want to know when the children are going to be treated equally. I want to know why some children have a legally recognized right to the love and care of both of their parents, and some children are not going to have a legally recognized right to love and care of both parents. The children born who are in same-sex unions will be legally separated from one of their parents. And the marriage itself becomes the thing that separates them from one of their parents. So I want to know when we're going to have parental equality, when children are going to have equal rights, and when that's going to be the thing that we consider. So I don't, you know, he can talk about love and equality all he wants, equality and love, equality and commitment. When did love and commitment become matters of the government anyway? So this is a slick marketing trick, but it doesn't have anything to do with reality.
I'd like your reaction to something, a comment made by Mark Solomon, who's the National Campaign Director for Freedom to Marry. It's a national group advocating for same-sex marriage. He said, ultimately, the Supreme Court will finish the job. We think the country is ready for a nationwide ruling. As it is now, it makes no sense. You can live in Belleville. That happens to be a municipality a little bit south of here in Illinois, and legally be married, but commute to downtown St. Louis and be treated as legal strangers. The patchwork of laws is unsustainable. It's wrong, and it doesn't make sense. What are your thoughts there?
Well, we knew this all along. You know, years ago, people on our side were saying that the idea that you're going to leave it to the states is kind of ridiculous. One way or the other, you're going to have one marriage law for the whole country. And so when people, you know, back then, back in the day, the advocates for redefining marriage were saying that, you know, all we want to do is let each state decide what they want, you know, we said that that's simply a stepping stone type of a strategy. That's a strategic move on your part to get this outcome. The reason there's confusion all over the place is because you guys created the confusion by redefining marriage and removing the gender requirement from marriage. So, you know, that's not an argument to quote-unquote finish the job. That's the job they wanted done all along, and the state-by-state strategy was simply their strategic plan for getting that done.
So you are saying that this is quite disingenuous of the advocates for same-sex marriage to bemoan the confusion, because that was exactly what they wanted, a state of confusion that could only be resolved either by a national ban or by the Supreme Court saying same-sex marriage laws, any bans against them, are unconstitutional.
That's right. That's right. They created the confusion, and they did it, and they did it deliberately. They knew exactly what they were doing. So, disingenuous is a good word for it.
One of the things I also like you to react to, and this comes from Orrin Hatch, who is, of course, a U.S. senator from Utah. He has, I don't know if he's advocating for same-sex marriage. It does sound like he's throwing up his hands. He's quoted in the press as saying, let's face it, anybody who does not believe that gay marriage is going to be the law of the land hasn't been observing what's going on. What are your thoughts on that so-called concession to inevitability?
Well, I think there's a sense in which he's correct. In other words, when the Supreme Court overturned DOMA last year, it's almost exactly a year ago now. You could see within that ruling, all of the elements were there to create redefined marriage throughout the country. And so what we've had going on here for the last, 11 months or whatever it is that, kind of state-by-state strategy of overturning all of the different state marriage amendments. And that was pretty much inevitable given what the court said in DOMA and given the fact that they allowed the attack on Proposition 8 to stand, because that means there's no possible response on the part of the people, because the Prop 8 case dismantled the initiative process for all practical purposes, because it meant that governors and attorneys general could do a pocket veto of any initiative that the people might care to come up with. What is galling to me about this sequence of events is that they continue to act like this is inevitable, in the sense of like the redefined marriage is a force of nature and everybody just needs to get over it. What's really happening, to my mind, is that the rich and powerful of both political parties have decided we're having redefined genderless marriage, and they're using all of their power, both political and financial and social and cultural, to make that happen. It's not just happening spontaneously because all ordinary, sensible people want it. It's happening because the elites are forcing it on us. And you can see that as they're going around the country, overturning marriage amendment after marriage amendment across the country, which are things that were voted in by the vast majority of people. So when they tell you it's inevitable, what they mean is we're winning and we don't intend to take any prisoners.
One other thing I'd like you to comment on, and this is being treated in the press as kind of a cutesy story about Pope Francis, but these are the comments that the Pope made recently about marriage on the occasion of celebrating a marriage, I believe, for 15 couples, or having some kind of celebration there in the Vatican. This is what the Pope said. You can go explore the world, go on holiday, you can have a villa in the countryside, you can be carefree. It might be better, more comfortable, to have a dog, two cats, and the love goes to those two cats and the dog. Is this not true? Have you not seen it? Then in the end, marriage comes to old age in solitude with bitterness of loneliness. What was the Pope saying there, and how would you interpret his words?
Well, he is affirming, in his own unique and charming way, he is reaffirming the ancient teaching of the Catholic Church, and really of all the Christian churches, that marriage is meant to be fruitful, and that the purpose of marriage is a kind of fruitfulness, whether spiritual or physical fruitfulness, and that openness to life should be a characteristic of marriage, right? And so he's saying that this is a good thing. This is his way of celebrating that children are a gift from God, that children are a good thing, and that what our culture has done in the name of being modern and whatever values people have, they're really becoming extremely materialistic. And so if Pope Francis scolds people about being materialistic, people are inclined to listen perhaps more than they would listen to Pope John Paul. But this is really the same thing John Paul would have said. It's the same thing that Benedict would have said. It's the same thing that the Church Fathers said all the way back to the beginning. And as a matter of fact, it's the same thing that all Christian denominations held until 1930. You know, the idea that artificial contraception was wrong. It was something that all Christian denominations believed. Martin Luther believed it. John Calvin believed it. You know, so he's really speaking for the common heritage of all the Christian religions when he tries to call to people instead of saying this is wrong. What Pope Francis does is says, here's the good. Good is to see the child as the fruit of the marriage, as being something that's a gift from God, and that's ever so much more valuable than your vacation, and that you're being shallow and you're being small-minded to surrender parenthood so that you can have material comfort. So he's trying to call people to the very same thing that John Paul and Benedict and all the others would have called people to.
So you would say, with about a minute here, a gentle pastoral admonition to Christian couples saying, look, there is a better way than seeking your own, what would he call it, your own carefree lifestyle, maybe even the self-sacrifice of raising children.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what he'd be saying, you know, that there's a better way. And that a lot of what you think is going to satisfy you is going to fade, is going to be ephemeral, you know. But in your old age, on your deathbed, your vacation photo album is not going to do it for you. You're going to want your children around you and your grandchildren around you. And so in the end, the relationships that you create and the quality of those relationships that you maintain, those are the things that are really going to see people through. And he's calling people to that and telling people, yeah, it's work. But it's worth the work, and that's what we believe too at the Ruth Institute, that that we never deny that marriage is a lot of work and sometimes not glamorous, but the point is that it's worth the effort.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. You can check out the blog and the website for the Ruth Institute at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for your time.
You're welcome, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to do a little sermon review. This one will be of one of our regular guests, Pastor Peter Bender of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, preaching on John 17, the first 11 verses, just the beginning of what is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. Here is Jesus interceding on behalf of his disciples, and what he prays for are the big things. And you will notice how he prays boldly to his Father and prays perfectly to his Father. And in fact, what he asks for is answered in the cross. When Jesus says, Father, glorify me with the glory with which I shared with you before the foundation of the world, that glory is coming for Christ in death and resurrection. We'll hear that sermon, review it on the other side of the break on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns, We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.